starting soon. Get your Bible and your notebook and your communion stuff. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Starting soon. Remember, you'll need your Bible. We don't have it on the screen behind us now. Hi! So glad you've joined us tonight. I hope you can hear me tonight. What a great weekend. Beautiful, beautiful day today. And nice to have all of you who are joining us already and those who will continue to join us. So it is great to be together as we can. The only way we can be together right now, I am thankful for this. I'm thankful for that. So you might recognize the banner behind me. I went to the church and got it and put it up last week so that something looks familiar. And I'm glad you're with us today. Palm Sunday weekend. Can you believe it? Palm Sunday weekend. I heard someone say on Facebook this week that Easter is not canceled. It's not. We are going to have Easter. Even if we can't have it in the building, we will still fully celebrate Easter. And so today, we're going to start a new message series because we entered into a new month. I know it's hard to believe that we're in a new month now because, after all, who can remember the days, much less the months? But we did, and we are in the month of April, so we're starting a new theme. We're calling it 100%, 100%, because I believe that God calls us to 100% living, 100% holding nothing back, no matter what circumstances we're going through. He calls us to 100% living. And today, the title of the message I'm going to share with you is called Choose What Choose What Matters. I think Jesus has a lot to offer us in the account in the Bible of Palm Sunday. And so I want to share that with you today. But first, I want to give you a little background about Palm Sunday. I find it intriguing that the day before Palm Sunday, Jesus went and spent time with his good friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Now, this was after Lazarus had been raised from the dead, so you can imagine conversations might have taken a place around the dinner table. I mean, sharing their favorite memories, sharing their highs, their lows, asking Lazarus, hey, what was it like after you came back from the grave? Like, what was that like to be alive after 4 days in the grave? So he had dinner with them. And at some point in the evening, we're in John 12, by the way, today. So if you want to open your Bibles to John 12, I'll get to that in a moment. But I'll give you a moment to turn to it in John 12. So at some point in the evening, when Lazarus and Mary and Martha had all gathered together and some of the disciples, Mary knelt down at Jesus' feet and poured a very costly perfume his feet. And Judas, who was the treasurer of the group, he made a fuss about it. And he was like, no, she shouldn't be doing that. Why is she doing that? Why is she doing that? That money could have been used to feed the poor. Now, we don't know whether he was really concerned about the poor or not, but we know Jesus' response. Jesus, in his response, said to Lazarus, listen, leave her alone. Leave her alone. You're always going to have the poor with you, but she is doing this in preparation for my burial. Now, I can't imagine how that must have created a hush to settle over the room when he said that. I'm sure they were confused. They had lots of questions, even though he had told them many times. But in that moment, he re-acknowledged, she did this in preparation for my burial. So leading up to Palm Sunday, in John 12, 9 and through 11. If you want to open your Bibles, John 12, we're going to spend the whole message today in the book of John, chapter 12. So it will be really easy for you to stay with me. John 12, 9 through 11 says this: When all the people heard of Jesus' arrival, they flocked to see him and also to see Lazarus, the man Jesus had raised from the dead. We notice here that the resurrection of Lazarus was such an astounding miracle that it actually brought people from all around to want to see him and want to witness this and even want to see Lazarus, the guy who'd been dead for 4 days. So all of that brought crowds in from all directions. And it's interesting, with crowds, you always get some stuff happening. Always. In John 12, 12 through 13, continuing on, it says, The next day, after that happened, the next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him. They shouted, "Praise God! Praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hail to the King of Israel!" Now, Jesus, the night before, has said, "She's done this in preparation for my burial." And now, hundreds, possibly thousands of people have gathered, and they're saying, "Hail to the King of the Jews." With crowds comes applause. I have props because that's what I do. On the internet or live, I do props. Jesus heard a lot of clapping. A lot of clapping. With crowds, sometimes comes applause. Applause. We have to wonder why they were clapping. Was it only because they wanted to make him their king? He had just raised someone from the dead, so there was no stopping him. Hail to the King of the Jews. We want you to restore our kingdom to its rightful place. We want you to change our situation. We want you to do something. After all, if you can raise someone from the dead, surely you can change our lives. Surely. In John 12, 17 and 18, it says this: Many in the crowd had seen Jesus call Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead, and they were telling others about it. Can you imagine how the word spread? That was the reason so many went out to meet him, because they had heard about this miracle sign. Listen, in our lives, applause can be intoxicating. Some of us being trapped in our homes right now is how it feels. We are looking for applause. We're looking for it. Someone notice me. Someone notice me. But we have to be careful because it's intoxicating. Jesus did not let that deter him from what he was called to do. So with crowds came applause. With crowds also came criticism. Criticism. I envision a shark when I think of criticism. Criticism. We see that in John 12, 10 and 11. Then the leading priest decided to kill Lazarus too, for it was because of him that many of the people had deserted them and believed in Jesus. Did you catch that? They had already planned to kill Jesus. They had already talked to Judas about it. They had set it up. They had started the process of setting it up at the very least. And when this happened, they made another decision. We don't like what's going on here, because a lot of people have now turned away from following us, and they've started following this man who's raised Lazarus. So we're going to kill Jesus, and we're going to kill Lazarus. Because with a crowd might come applause, but with the crowd also comes criticism. Always. Always. At some point, I believe in my heart that all of the applause and all of the criticism just joined together in so much noise, just noise, 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 noise. I don't know about you. In quarantine, you would think that there would be less noise in our lives. That has not been true for me. I don't know how it's been for you, but for me, I feel like there has been as much noise, maybe even more noise than ever. Maybe because when I am not trapped in my home, I run, get rid of noise. I do this, I do this, I do this. Maybe. And now that I'm in my home, I hear the noise even more. So I believe that Jesus on Palm Sunday shows us how to silence the noise. I don't know what your noise looks like, but I think we all have noise that we need to silence. And the first thing that he did in silencing noise was he revisited his purpose. I was going to put he remembered or he reminded himself, but I don't think he needed reminding. But he did revisit it. In John 12:23-24, in the Passion Translation, Jesus is talking, and he says, "Now is the time for the Son of Man to be glorified. Let me make it clear, a single grain of wheat will never be more than a single grain of wheat." Get that? A single grain of wheat will never be more than a single grain of wheat unless it drops to the ground and dies. Wow. Because then it sprouts and produces a great harvest of wheat, all because one grain died. He revisited his purpose. The night before, he told Mary and Martha and Lazarus, "She did this in preparation for my burial." And now the crowds are, "Yes, yes, hail King Jesus, he's the best." And the Pharisees are, "Oh, we're going to get him." And he revisits his purpose in that moment. And he says, "Listen, unless a single grain of wheat falls to the ground and surrenders to death, it will never produce the great harvest that it needs to produce and gets to produce." He continues on in verses 25 and 26. The person who loves his life and pampers himself. I don't know about you, but it's a tendency in this moment being quarantined to just pamper myself. And everybody else, pamper me. After all, it's hard. He says, the person who loves his life and pampers himself will miss true life. But the one who detaches his life from this world and abandons himself to me will find true life and enjoy forever. If you want to be my disciple, follow me, and you will go where I am going. And if you truly follow me as my disciple, the Father will shower his favor upon you. He revisited his purpose in that moment, that it would have been so easy, so tempting, from the applause to say, "Okay, let's do this," or from the criticism to run and hide. But he did neither. He revisited his purpose. But you know what else I like that he did? He felt the feelings. I don't know about you, but I got some feelings going on with this quarantine. I am not usually like that. But with this quarantine, I have been weepy, frustrated. Weepy, frustrated, peaceful. But listen to what Jesus said in verse 27, just the first part. He says, "Even though I am torn within and my soul is in turmoil, I love that he admitted, this is hard. I am having some feelings right now. I think so many times in the Christian world, instead of feeling the feelings, we just pretend or deny. Or we tell other people, don't feel that way. God's got this. Yes, he does have this. Yes, absolutely he does. If anybody knew it, Jesus knew it. But that did not take away his feelings. Feel the feelings. In the Passion or in the New Living Translation, it says, "Now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour?" He felt the feelings. He admitted the feelings. He was talking aloud when he said that. He wasn't hiding and pretending he was everything's great. But he didn't stop there either. Listen, I have felt some feelings, but I don't stop there. I do not camp out there. I refuse to camp out there. There's nothing good in camping out there. I admit it. God, I am feeling this way. I tell him straight up. But then I don't stop there. And Jesus didn't stop there. He said, I will not ask the Father to rescue me from this hour of trial, for I have come to fulfill my purpose, to offer myself to God. So, Father, bring glory to your name. What if we all prayed that together right now? I will not ask the Father to rescue me from this hour of trial, for I have come to fulfill my purpose, to offer myself to God. So, Father, bring glory to your name through this. Bring glory to your name. After that, he heard a great amen from heaven. God spoke. And Jesus said, God didn't do that for me. He did that for all of you. He heard an amen from heaven. Listen, you can revisit your purpose. You can feel the feelings. And you can do what Jesus did. Choose what matters. That's what he did. When he said, listen, I will not ask the Father to rescue me because this is the reason I came. So I'm going to make an intentional decision to choose what matters right now. You can revisit your purpose. You can feel the feelings. You can choose what matters. But that won't necessarily silence the noise. And it didn't for Jesus either, because with the crowds came lots of questions. Questions, 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 constantly questions. In John 12:34, it says, the crowd responded, we understood from Scripture that the Messiah would live forever. How can you say the Son of Man will die? Just who is this Son of Man anyway? Do you have questions? Oh, I have a lot of questions. I don't understand. I don't understand most of what's happening. I really don't. And I don't know. I might get a little irritated with people who think they have all the answers. But you know what? In the middle of the questions, let them come, let them come, let them come. I will do this. Number four, I will choose what matters again. As Jesus did. I will do my best to choose what matters again. We see this further down in John 12, 49 and 50. Jesus says, I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who has sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. And I know his commands lead to eternal life. So I say whatever the Father tells me to say. What if in the middle of this quarantine, we came to resolve that in our hearts, and that it would never be questioned then, to resolve, I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it, and I know that 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 I know his commands lead to eternal life. So I say whatever the Father tells me to say. What if we became so confident in his love in the middle of his heartache, his love made us courageous? courageous enough to choose what matters again. Courageous enough to reach out to someone outside of our own walls in some way. There's still phones. There's still cards you can send. There's still packages you can send. What does this mean for us? What does living 100%, what does that mean in the middle of quarantine? What does that mean? First of all, know that there will be noise. There's going to be noise. So silence the noise by, number one, revisit your purpose. Settle it. Revisit your purpose. Number two, feel the feelings. Feel the feelings. Just go ahead and face them and feel them. But don't stop there. Choose what matters. And then number four, choose what matters again. I think we have a great opportunity to figure out, more than ever before in the history of Earth as we've known it in our lifetimes, to choose what matters. Choose what matters. And I think that will be 100% living. I have come. I have been born to be loved by God, to love God, and to love others. That's what I choose. I will not question God's love for me in the middle of this. I will not. I will feel the feelings, but I will choose what matters in the middle of it. I invite you to get communion elements together now so that we can take communion together. I'll give you a minute to do that as we think about choosing what matters. I love that we can come to the Lord's table, because this is a constant reminder of what matters. This is a constant reminder. Every time we take communion, it reminds us of what matters. So I take your communion at this time and break the bread if you like, or the cracker, or whatever it is you have. I'm going to pray over it now. God, I thank you for this cracker. In my home, it's a cracker. I thank you that you take something so common, so ordinary, and you make it holy. Because every time we take, remember that you have given us permission to be healed, whole, saved, delivered. Not just permission, but you made it possible for us to be healed, saved, set free. And so we thank you for that. And we take this bread together in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. I just feel like I'm supposed to pray for anyone who's listening to this. If you are ill, in the name of Jesus, I speak healing over your body. Not in my name, in His name. I speak total 100% healing over your body. Strength to your bones. Clearing of breathing passages. Deep breath in and out. You will actually see and feel a difference. You will know Jesus is touching you right now in your home. He loves healing people in homes. Look at what was on the earth. He healed people in homes all the time. So I speak healing over you right now. Now the juice, wine, whatever you have to symbolize the blood of Jesus. God, I thank you for this juice that is a reminder, another common reminder of something sacred and holy, that with this, we are able to come back into full relationship with you, that we are able to be adopted as your sons and daughters, that we are wiped clean of sin, that we are wiped clean of everywhere we've ever fallen short. And we embrace our new relationship with you. And we thank you for the new covenant that makes this possible. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. I hope you sense the power of God in your home like I felt it in my home just now and throughout this. I just want to remind you that if you are watching this on Saturday, tomorrow at 11:45 a.m., we will have our family chat. Hope you can make it. It was so fun last week. Think of foyer time. That's what the family chat is like. It's foyer time. We can talk and hang out and see each other, which I really enjoy. If you need the information on how to get to the family chat, I ask you to private message Natalie Caruso, and she'll give that to you. Next week, Resurrection Sunday, we're going to talk about how to celebrate Resurrection Sunday at 100%, even in our homes, even without all of the traditions that we always have enjoyed, 100% resurrection, new life. And I want to challenge you this week to brainstorm ways that you can make this the most special Easter Resurrection Sunday you've ever had. Brainstorm ways. You're creative. I know you are, because you're made in God's image and He's creative. So I invite you to brainstorm ways you can make Resurrection Sunday special next week. I want to read the blessing to you before we go. From Numbers, the priestly blessing, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Amen. Love you guys. Miss you like crazy. Have a good day. Bye.